Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. As always, on Monday, we do our Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt Rogers joining us right now. And Kurt, it's been a couple weeks since we talked, since last week was a holiday. What's going on that's new in the mortgage world? Anything?
Actually, no, the rates are still staying low, which is a good thing.
Okay.
There are people learning ways to how to deal with the appraisal gap, and there are ways to work around that in case you don't have quite all the money. So we can show people how to do that. The market is still quite strong for demand.
Yes,
and
very.
You and I both know many people will say, well, the market's going to crash. It's got a long way to go to crash.
Yeah, and I've been, it's interesting, Kurt, there's always those, you know, I don't want to say necessary naysayers is the right word, but there are always those people out there that look at the, you know, negative sides of things. And I'm not saying that they're totally wrong. Maybe there's some bits and pieces of things there that, you know, are you know, real and worth paying attention to. Although, again, I think one of the things that these, you know, these bubble guys, let's call it what it is, there's a lot of folks out there that think there's this bubble and it's going to burst at any point. And, you know, you and I have talked about it numerous times. When you look at supply and demand and inventories and so on, and we had a realtor on, you know, Fix It Radio on Saturday mentioning the same thing. The reality is when you've got a supply and demand issue and there's really no, I'm being honest, Kurt, there's really no end in sight as to how to get supply up, especially here in Colorado, because we're just not building. There's not enough new home starts to really, you know, make a big chunk in that. And if you look at different areas of the metro area, it's even worse than others. Am I right?
That is correct. There's some areas there's nothing out there. What I think people are missing is there's a lot of people that are bidding for homes.
Right.
Which means those people aren't going to go away just because there's not enough homes.
They're
going
to
keep going.
That's right.
There's a whole group of people behind that don't have the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to cover the appraisal gap, but they still want to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
So as we start to catch up having enough homes, those people are going to get into the game and keep the value moving forward. Maybe not at 8 to 9%, but at 4 to 5%.
Well,
so
and
for
Kurt,
the next year, we're going to see this just continue.
I agree, and I want to throw one other thing out there, too, that a lot of folks, I think even these bubble guys forget is, and maybe they don't know this because they're not in the part of the country that we live in, but Kurt, here in Colorado, we have numerous cities now along the Front Range that have, you know, building moratoriums, you know, Lakewood being one of the newest ones to add to that, to where there's only a certain amount of new builds that they will even allow, which even then makes this problem that much worse.
That's right.
They create their own lack of supply issue, if you would.
Which keeps the prices up.
Correct. Correct.
Now, eventually, you and I both know that the inflation is going to continue to go up, but it will settle. It's not going to get up to 3 and 4%, stay there for a while, which means rates are going to stay where they're at. They're not going to move. The feds have pretty much guaranteed that. That's another benefit to what's going on now, why homes are going to continue to move at the rate that they are, and the demand's going to stay.
One other thing, too, Kurt, just to throw at you that I've also noticed here that is, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. I was going to ask you last time you were on. I totally forgot about it, but I wanted to get your opinion of, you know, you're seeing very large, expensive homes, i.e. even the Tom Cruise, you know, $40 million type homes that are literally selling not quite as fast as a, you know, 600, 700K home, but they are still selling exceptionally fast. To me, that just still, you know, still tells you there's a lot of money, and we talked to, you know, Crown Financial earlier. There's a lot of money supply still out there for folks to come in and buy those types of properties.
And without a doubt, there's people that move into this area of the country that are coming from areas where homes are a lot more expensive, so they're bringing a lot more cash.
Yep. And until, again, Kurt, until that ends, I just don't see this area in Colorado being much different. And, you know, you and I don't have a crystal ball. I can't predict the future. I don't know what's going to happen, you know, in a month or a year or even 10 years for that matter. But I will tell you folks, as a Colorado native living here the majority of, well, all of my life, not majority of my life, owning a home, the majority is what I meant to say of my life. And by now it is the majority. Kurt, I've owned homes for, you know, almost the past 40 years. You know, as it comes to real estate, or as I should say, as it goes with real estate, it's pretty tough in Colorado to find another place in the marketplace across the country, maybe the exception of some higher end places in California and so on that have done as well or better than we have here. But this is pretty tough to beat.
Yeah, everything about Colorado is real tough to beat right now. It's growing fast. I mean, you can tell we're back to normal. Get out on the highway.
Yes.
And you'll see where
yes,
we're
yes, I agree. Yeah,
back.
I just watched the traffic on I-70 over the weekend, and you'll realize that. All right, Kurt, how do folks get a hold of you, and what's on Haystack tomorrow?
720-895-0500, and we're going to have the Inspire. It's a breathing apparatus that help you. So when you sleep at night, sleep apnea, so it can help you. We've had the doctor on the show before with a couple of guests. We're going to have him back on tomorrow.
If I'm not mistaken, Kurt, this is a very, very small, unobtrusive device, right?
Very simple to have done, and it you know, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to wear anything. It's easier to breathe. You don't have nothing to clean.
Yeah.
But he'll go through all of that tomorrow.
All right. Sounds great. Kurt, as always, I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. That, again, is Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Franktown Firearms, where they want to help you with your gun purchase, whether it's the first one or the 100th one. It doesn't matter. They're there to help you and, by the way, can do all the training with that as well. So even those of us that are veterans can always learn something new. They've got all the classes, one-stop shopping, including accessories as well. And don't forget, the range is on site. It's klzradio.com is where you find them, or call 720-770-7777.
Teach your children responsibility around guns in a safe, welcoming environment. At Franktown Firearms, everyone shares a common goal: to keep on learning. Responsibility requires practice, so head instructor Karen Murray considers herself a lifelong student as well as a teacher. Karen creates her own proprietary training courses so people of all ages may develop confidence with firearms. Now, for the first time, only at Franktown Firearms, children as young as 5 years old may learn to keep themselves and others safe in homes with guns. Starting with airsoft and BBs, you and your children will develop a healthy respect for firearms together. Sign up for one of Karen's classes as a family at klzradio.com/Franktown. First responders, military veterans, and range members receive discounts in the shop. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we're back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. By the way, all of you out there, it looks like it's probably the east side of town from a picture that Dave Hart from Roof Max just sent me. There is looks like a tornado on the ground, and I'm surprised, Charlie, we've not gotten any national weather alerts or anything along those lines, but it looks like, I don't know exactly what direction, but just be aware of that, pay attention, and be really, really safe out there, folks, and I mean that. Jason Johnson joining us now. Jason, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today, sir?
I'm great, John. Good to be with you.
I appreciate it. I've been talking about you most of the day. You are the president of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, and we're going to talk today about some things that, you know, our show, we pretty much, you know, I'll just say we've got really smart listeners. They pay attention, And, you know, you're among friends. I guess I could ultimately say, you know, we're going to do what we can to debunk a lot of these myths around, you know, law enforcement. Frankly, though, Jason, you know, what we're going to do really is just give ammunition, I think, to a lot of the folks that listen. So as they're talking to friends, family, and around the water cooler, they know exactly what to say.
Great. That sounds good to me.
All right. So, let's get into it. You know, first of all, explain to the listeners, number one, who, you know, what is the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund? What do you guys do?
So we're a 501c3 nonprofit. We've been around for 26 years. We're national in scope, and we spend a great deal of time working to raise funds to support law enforcement, individual law enforcement officers who have been wrongly charged with crimes related to their work.
Okay.
And we spend the rest of our time trying to educate the public generally about policing and some of the mythology out there. We want people to know the truth.
Well, I appreciate that, very much. I think I say it all the time. It doesn't matter, Jason, what industry we go to. There are typically, in any industry, a lot of great, great people that are in it, and there are a few knuckleheads in every industry that, in a lot of ways, can give that whole entire industry a bad, you know, black eye. I mean, I come from the auto industry. I've been in that my entire life. You know the reputation that, you know, the auto industry has, and you know, by and large, Jason, the majority of repair shops and even dealerships that are out there are pretty good, you know, up and up, you know, straight actors that, you know, they really are there to try to help the individual buyer and or person that's driving the car. Yet it's a few of those bad actors that give that industry a bad name. I think the same happens in law enforcement.
I think that's true, John. You know, there are over 800,000 law enforcement officers in the United States. And, you know, for every weekly or monthly body-worn camera video you might see with an officer doing something they ought not have done, you got to remember there are 800,000 other men or women out there
right. That
are generally doing the right thing. So we have to just always keep contact.
Well, and the other thing, too, that despite what the media would want you to believe that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I look at these stats. We've got a listener, by the way, that sends me things. A listener, Joe, sends me things almost daily when it comes to fact-checking a lot of these things that are in the news media. And some of those facts that, you know, we really need to make sure people are aware of is that police shootings in general are significantly lower than they've been in past decades. Am I right, Jason?
That's a fact. They're down at least 60%. We look at our largest law enforcement agencies in the country, and the New York Police Department is the largest law enforcement agency in the country, and they're down 60% since 2000. We go back to the early 70s, they're down significantly more since then. Same is true in Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, all the large cities across America. You look at similar reductions. And as John, as I'm sure you're going to turn to, the problem is that depending on where consumers receive their news,
yes,
they don't know that.
Yes, that is correct. No, you're spot on. I mean, I was going to talk today, and I'll get to it, where, you know, according to the left, according to those that are out there, there is some, you know, there is some, how should I say this? There is some news being perpetrated by the Gun Violence Archive, the GVA, that we have had 250-plus mass shootings in the U.S. so far this year. Now, keep in mind, Jason? It really comes down to how you classify that in the first place, but the reality is we have not had 250-plus mass shootings this year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the problem is various organizations and certainly news organizations, many news organizations, spin the news in the way that their listeners favor. And, you know, there's been a balkanization in the consumption of news and news outlets, and especially when we're talking about cable news outlets. If you make a mistake and you're flipping through your cable news and you wind up on MSNBC or CNN or, mm-hmm. or several other outlets, and they're talking about policing, you're going to hear a much different perspective, and I would argue one that's far, far away from the factual perspective when they're talking about policing. And that's what leads to, you know, people who self-identify as liberal,
right,
70% of them believing that those shootings are increasing, when in fact we, you know,
just the opposite.
Look at the facts, they're coming down significantly.
Jason, I know this isn't really something that we, you know, even discussed, you know, prior to you coming on, but I've got my own theory on the whole defund the police, and given the fact that, you know, you're somebody that has been in this area for a very long time, you've got over 20 years as a law enforcement officer, you've been, you know, literally, you know, in places that I'll never ever think of being. So please correct me if what I say is wrong. But I have a feeling, and I think I can back this up by just some of what's gone on and what's happened. So we've got this big movement that's been going on now for a couple of years of, you know, defund the police. And my theory on that, Jason, isn't necessarily that they want, you know, that side wants to defund anything. What they want is a change of guard. And what I mean by that, Jason, is we have a Second Amendment in this country, and I believe by and large that the majority of officers, including our own military across this country, believe heavily in the Second Amendment. And if any point in time something changed and there was some sort of a mantra that came down that all of a sudden, you know, gun confiscation was supposed to happen, the reality is we don't have law enforcement in this country enough. There are pockets, but in general, there's not enough law enforcement in this country to enact what I just said, Jason. So my feeling is because the Second Amendment is the only thing really keeping us free right now with all of the other amendments that we have, because if we didn't have that, the rest would go away. My feeling, Jason, is they don't want to defund the police. They want to change the police and get their individuals in that will perform the duties they want done, much like I just said, knowing that the people they have now there won't do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a legitimate theory. There are a lot of theories out there. I personally think that the defund movement, the actual defunding movement, is something that was just an enormous mistake. I mean, it was a terrible marketing by those on the left who started calling it defunding. I think they've even turned off many people who identify as liberals. But the fact remains that whether they want defunding or not, they certainly want to disempower police. So even if they don't want to cut their budgets to zero, they want to reduce their budgets, they want to implement all sorts of strategies to disempower the police. We see it happening all over the country, overregulation of police, which is really impacting the police officers' ability to do their jobs. Cities across the country, consequently and very predictably, are having sharp increases in violent crime. National average is 25%, but in many cities are much, much higher than that. And it's a failed plan. We need to turn the car around and get back to fundamental law and order.
And by the way, everything you just said, fully agree with. Again, bear with me on my theory. If I'm right, and that's ultimately what they want to do, by doing what you just said they are in fact doing, they are frustrating the force to the point where a lot of these guys will either retire, they'll retire early, they'll just flat say, Jason, I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't want to be scrutinized for every little thing I do. I can go make money doing something else. In fact, I can go make a lot more money doing something else where I don't have to go through this. Ultimately, there becomes a change of the guard if they continue down this path.
Well, and that's true. You know, we already see that happening. And a lot of publicly reported data that supports that police officers are leaving law enforcement, that fewer young people, you know, new college graduates, people getting out of the military are less interested in entering law enforcement because they've been so demonized, really.
Right.
And we're in the middle of conducting a study right now to dive deeper into that, get actual data from cities to find out if we can support that empirically. And we're going to put out a paper in the next month or two to report our results.
I'd love to know that. And again, the reason I'd love to know that is because, again, my theory is that's their first step in really sort of creating chaos, if you would, among departments across the country. And if they get that done, and it won't be necessary, this is my prediction, it won't be that they necessarily go out and hire new police officers. I believe, Jason, what they will do is they will find the quote-unquote community organizers in a particular city. They will then deputize or make those individuals policemen. They will then go around doing exactly what they wanted done in the first place, knowing that, again, today's police officer in most cases won't do that.
Well, I'll say this, John. If that is their strategy, if there is a grand strategy that's consistent with what you said, it is working. We can see it working, and it's much to the detriment of really every American, because our public safety is on the line.
Yes, and again, I know I'm thinking big, but you know, keep in mind, Jason, I interview a lot of different people from all over the country, from all walks, actually all around the world, all walks of life and so on, and I do firmly believe that the powers that be, you know, those Marxist, socialist, communist powers that be, know the only thing keeping them from total control of this country is the Second Amendment. They've got to do something to take the 350 million plus guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens, and they know they can't just do it by gun confiscation the way things are right now, because again, they don't have the manpower to make that happen. The only way, and by the way, this is a long-term goal. This isn't going to happen in the next, you know, 10 months or probably even 10 years, but can it happen in the next 30 or 40? I believe it can if they continue down the path that they're headed.
It's a scary thought, but you know, sadly that is the reality. We never would have thought 3 to 5 years ago that policing would have would be in the place that it is now, but it's scary. You got cops who will not recommend that. Well, cops used to be proud for their children to enter law enforcement, and now that is universally not the case. And that in itself is a big change. It's just it doesn't bode well for the future of policing, and really we need to.
No, and I know you guys are there to really help. You know, not only current police officers that are there now, you know, let's back those guys, make sure that they feel, let's make them feel like they're doing a great job and they're honored and they want to be there. But Jason, on top of that, you know, much like my industry on the automotive side needs new blood or we're not going to have anybody to fix cars down the road, on the same token, you've got to do the same thing with what you're doing or we're not going to have any new blood in the police officer end of things either.
Absolutely, absolutely true.
And by the way, that's a tall order. And it's a tall order because of what you just said earlier that, you know, we've demonized it to the point where if young people don't want to become a police officer because of all of the negativity they've heard really their entire life from, you know, principals and school admin and school boards and the press and even fellow students and teachers and so on, you know, what incentive do they have to become a police officer even though that may be something they've wanted to do their entire life?
Well, and ironically, you know, it really will reduce. It already is reducing the caliber of men and women, young men and women who want to enter the police profession. It's been, you know, historically, it's been a pretty competitive to get into law enforcement. There's been, you know, 50 to 100 applicants for each individual that ultimately makes it to the police academy. And that's no longer the case, much less competitive now. And you got to wonder, how is that going to impact the caliber? We're trying to increase the caliber of police, increase the professionalism, and we're heading in the opposite direction simply because of the war on police.
Yeah, by the way, I like what you just said a moment ago. It is a war on police. It's a job I don't want. I would not want, and I asked my brother passed away here recently, Jason, and I was at his funeral, and one of his great friends was a state trooper up in Washington. So we had a long conversation and I learned a lot more than what I had already known prior. But, you know, I asked him, what's the scariest thing you do as a state patrolman in Washington? He said, traffic stop. I said, what do you mean? Explain. He said, walking up to a window, not knowing exactly what's going to come back in return. And I thought for a moment, you know, Jason, as somebody that's owned businesses since I was 22, and yeah, I've had a lot of ups and downs and so on, I've never had to worry about whether I'd be alive at the end of the day doing the job I've done all these years.
Yeah, and that's true. And, I think people, they tend to lowball the amount of danger perceived and really experienced by police officers on traffic stops. That's exactly right what the trooper said. Is it's an unknown situation. You're stopping a person. You have no idea if they just committed a murder or if they have an open warrant for something or if there's some evidence of a serious crime in the car. And, yeah, absolutely. Really dangerous part of the job.
Again, president of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, Jason Johnson, with me today. And by the way, Jason, appreciate all your time. But before I conclude and I move on to something else here, how do folks get a hold of you? How do they help? How do they, and I guess I got more questions for you along those lines, but where's the website? How do they find you? How do they get involved?
Great. Thanks for asking. So we're at policedefense.org. That's our website. We've got a lot of information there, not only about the individual officers that we are currently supporting as an organization, our donors are supporting, but we also have lots of information there on research projects that we're working on, some of what we've already discussed about the polling that we've done to see what people's understandings are of police use of force. Lots of other material there, lots of other material to come, and also lots of links to our media appearances and our other commentary there, so your listeners can find lots of information on us there.
All right, last question I have for you, which you sort of answered a moment ago with the website. You know, how do folks, besides being able to go online, donate, and help you guys in that matter, what are things they can personally do to help along these lines?
really, it's just knowing the basic facts of policing and understanding that the popular narrative that's out there that's being pushed by elected officials, members of the media, and others is false. And to try to just be an ambassador for someone who is not necessarily a member of law enforcement, but is a supporter of law enforcement and can correct those misunderstandings. That is really probably the most important thing that people can do. Everyone goes to family get-togethers, yep. And hopefully increasingly so, and they're going to talk to those relatives and just kind of, you know, say, hey, that's actually not true. You know, you might have heard that somewhere, but here are the facts. And that's great probably point. The most helpful thing.
Great point. Believe. Again, folks, Jason Johnson, a president of Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, and the website, make sure I get this right, it's policedefense.org. Is that correct, Jason?
That's correct, John.
All right, Jason, by the way, anytime, you're welcome. I love talking to you. This is great. I'm on you guys' side. Anything we can possibly do to change this narrative around and get us back on track, because, again, if my theory is correct, all the more reason why we got to make sure we get this handled.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, really appreciate your support, John, and that of all your listeners.
Very welcome. Jason, thanks for joining us. I do appreciate it, sir. Have a great evening.
Absolutely.
You bet. All right. Take care. Have a great night. And let's do this. We've got Golden Eagle Financial coming up next. And folks, you need help when it comes to planning your financial future. We talked to Crown Financial earlier when it came to, you know, inflation. How do you, again, you can't stave it off, but what do you do to respond to it properly? This is where Al comes in. He can help you with that side of the fence as well. KLZradio.com, 303-744-1128.
How you receive income from your nest egg in retirement is even more important than the size of your nest egg. All your adult life, you've focused on growing the money you set aside. Now you enter the uncharted territory of making certain that those funds will last for your lifetime. Al Smith will help you transition from accumulating wealth to preserving it. Chartered financial consultant and founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith works with people of varied income levels to create tax-free income in retirement. Some of his clients enter retirement with healthy pensions and robust portfolios. Others rely primarily on Social Security and the money in their 401ks or IRAs. Regardless of your previous investment strategies, how you choose to structure and withdraw your savings will have significant tax implications. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/money to make your money last. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations, because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter @RushToReason and on Facebook.com/RushToReason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. So, okay, real quick weather report. A lot of you are sending me pictures and messages of a tornado that is on the ground up in the Meade area, which if you don't know where Meade is, it's going to be north of the Frederick Firestone area. Highway 66 and I-25 is where the Meade area is. And some of you sent me some when it was very small. And Dave Hart, by the way, from RoofMax, sent me a picture of that same tornado from a distance. And I had somebody send me one that's closer to Meade. And, I don't know how long it's going to be on the ground, if it still is right now. But if you're up in that Meade area, please, please be careful. And it looks like that could be happening. If we've got that type of movement in the weather, that could happen pretty much anywhere across this metro area. And I would just say be careful, watch out, be aware of what's going on. And just, again, watch your surroundings. Okay, I want to jump back to Facebook as Richard and I were talking earlier in the 4:30 to 5 o'clock segments. And a couple of you even texted in and said, hey, you know what? I have moved completely away from Facebook because of X, Y, and Z. By the way, great. Frankly, if it wasn't for this program, I wouldn't be on it either. And as a matter of fact, there's one thing that, you know, producer Ann and I both have made a conscious decision of, and it's why you're hearing us talk a lot more about the Rush to Reason website versus Facebook. You don't hardly hear me talk much about Facebook anymore in regards to our own program. Why? because we are really making a conscious effort to move away from Facebook. As we get less and less engagement on Facebook, you're liable to see us in the not-too-distant future just completely move away from it altogether. It's why we're pushing the website, rushtoreason.com. And some of you may say, well, how do you know that's safe? How do you know that it's going to be in existence? How do you know it's not going to be something where Amazon comes along and just shuts it down? Well, one answer. It's on my server. It ain't going anywhere. So for those of you that might worry about that, I've thought through that, and it's my server, and it's not going anywhere, and I don't pay anybody to host it. It's our deal. The downside of that is occasionally if you see the site go down, you know, I am beholden to, in my case, CenturyLink and my internet connection that comes in just like anybody else would that has a, you know, server that runs out to the internet. Now, in my case, though, where I'm not like a normal ISP that's hosting websites and so on, I don't have redundancy when it comes to multiple lines coming into the building. The downside is, you know, if there's a line cut or something like that, I'm at their mercy as to how fast we get things back up and running and so on. Bottom line is, though, we will be back up and running and nothing goes away. And again, it's my server and we will always have that there. So anything that we continue to do in the future, we're going to really push hard and steer it towards the website, the rushtoreason.com website. And that's why Ann's done a great job with even putting up more content with what we do on the program daily, recapping that. All of our programs are listed there. And again, that's what we're doing, and we've done that on purpose. So for a lot of you that are looking at Facebook that way and are moving away from it, you're not going to miss anything on our end by moving away from it. Just go to the website instead. We'll have as many things posted there as we do on Facebook. Will we still use Facebook for a while? Yes, for a while. We'll see how that goes, and you know, we'll play that by ear. But you know, that's the bottom line there. All right, I want to talk about business. And I mentioned this to Charlie at the top of one of our hours here. And the reality is, if businesses continue to do business the same way they did prior to COVID, frankly, I don't think there's much hope for them. And not trying to be, you know, mean, rude, or nasty, but let me explain. So as I told you guys earlier in, I think, the first hour, I did some, you know, shopping and did some different things Saturday night and happened to end up at the Mills Mall over in Denver West, Colorado Mills, which I'm not a big mall person, but, you know, better half wanted to go there, so that's where we ended up. Had some things that were needed and so on. Now, before going, checked to make sure that the mall was going to be open and all of that was good, and it's close to where I live, so great. Supposed to be open till 9 o'clock. I say supposed to be, because we get there, and it's getting close to 7 o'clock, and about, I don't know, I don't say half the stores, but a large percentage of stores are starting to close up. Now, I'm not saying that's the store's fault, and I'm not saying it's the mall's fault. What I'm saying is, who's communicating what time things shut down? And or are some of these places just closing up early because of lack of help, or do they really close at 7? You know, what is the real skinny that's going on here? And where I'm going with this is, if you're a business that's been affected by COVID, which a lot have, especially in the retail sector, and things are now back on track to the point where, in this particular situation, no masks are even needed and very few people are wearing them. I mean, it really looks like things are pretty much back to normal. If that's the case, why would you not be wanting to set yourself up to get as much business in as you possibly can and make up some of that ground that you may have lost in the past year? And I guess the way I see it is, Saturday nights seem to me, and by looking around at the mall, there were plenty of people floating around. In fact, it looked like a pre-COVID day. You couldn't tell COVID had ever happened. And I don't understand why, when you've got a mall full of people, would you want to close when you've got potential customers able to walk in the door and spend money? I was totally flabbergasted by the fact that, A, you state that you're going to be there till 9, and yet at 7, you're closing up. Now, maybe somebody works there and they can explain to me what's going on. I'd love to know. But I will tell you all that, especially those of you that are in the retail end of things, if I were in retail today and I had missed out on the last year's worth of revenue, I don't know that I'd ever close my store. I realize people need to go home and eat and sleep and do those things, and I get it that you got to find help to do things and so on, and I realize that there's probably not going to be too many shoppers at 2 a.m. But I would be open as many hours as possible throughout the day, even if I had to go in there and run it myself as an owner. I'm confused when I drive by now post-COVID and I see any place at what I would consider to be normal, you know, business hours, why they're trying to close up. When in some cases I can see people that are inside shopping. And again, folks, if I'm missing something here, please let me know. But I'm trying to figure out why these retail businesses, especially brick and mortar, where they've lost so many of their sales to the Amazons of the world, why would you do that? Why would you not stay open as long as possible? The other thing that right now should end, by the way, if you're a retail business, I would end, if I were your coach and make you do, curbside pickup. COVID's over. Why are you doing curbside pickup? Why do you not want that person in your store picking up their goods so they could potentially buy something else? Why are you walking out to the curb with their stuff? If you're trying to be like Amazon and all the rest of them, frankly, you're not. Because if they can drive to the curb, they can park and walk inside and pick up whatever's needed. If you're just trying to do it out of convenience sake, I don't think that folks are going to care one way or the other if it's curbside or if they have to walk in. So I would tell you, stop. Don't do it anymore. Get the people shopping in your store. That's how you get them to spend more money. So I would end all curbside pickup. COVID's done. It's over. Stick a fork in it. The people that are hanging on to it are those nervous Nellies or the Karens left that are trying to drag this thing out as long as possible. Bottom line is, it's done. It's over. As far as the retail shopping experience is concerned, it's a thing of the past. So why cater to that end of things any longer? And again, if you're in retail and you'd like to tell me why, please, I'm willing to listen. Just like if you were my client, I would listen. But you're going to have to really prove to me that it works and that you've got a plethora of customers wanting to use it versus coming in the store and picking up said goods they bought. Again, bottom line, and Charlie and I again talked about this, you have to convince me, and Charlie, by the way, because we're both of this, how to get me off of Amazon and come into your store and spend money. And don't just tell me that because, you know, it's because I shouldn't be supporting Amazon, I need to buy from you locally. Folks, I get that. I understand that. But I'm a busy guy as well. And if my only time to go shopping is 8 o'clock on a Saturday night and you're not open, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to Amazon and shop instead. You see, folks, you've got to make it as convenient as shopping online is. Otherwise, that's where they're going to go. And I will say this, and I think, Charlie, you would agree with me. There is still something to be said about going in, touching, and feeling something that you can't do online. Charlie's shaking his head. You don't get that online, and I get that. Trying it on especially. Yeah, Charlie said clothing especially, folks. Trying it on. But, folks, I've bought things online, and you did as much as I possibly could with the descriptions. And when it arrived, it was still like, oh, that's disappointing. I don't want that. And you're going through the process of sending it back. Charlie, you've experienced that as well. Where if I could have gone to a store and looked at said item and picked it out that way, I would have much rather done so. So I still think there's a way for brick and mortar to make it. But what you guys have to think about and do is, by the way, what you're not doing now. Make it convenient and entice me to come in and shop. For example, there are services out there, and Charlie, I don't know the exact names of these, but there's services out there for men and women alike where once a month you get a box of goods, clothing. You might get a sweater, a shirt, a tie, a pair of pants, socks, and I don't know what else in it. You pay so much per month, and these things show up. If you decide you're going to keep it, in fact, in some cases it's a free service, you just sign up and agree to buy whatever you keep and send back what you don't want. Am I right, Charlie? Stitch Fit, what's the other one, Charlie? Birchbox, okay? So these are places where you can sign up and they bring you these things to your front doorstep. You decide what you're going to keep or not. You pay for what you keep. You don't what you send back. So for all of you retailers that might be listening to me, why don't you do the same thing for me, only I come in the store and get it instead? And or why don't you give me 1 week a month where I get a bigger discount than I do some other week? And oh, by the way, get your database set up to where every week a certain part of your database gets a bigger discount than the next. Again, I'm thinking outside the box, folks. There's multiple ways for you to get me back in your store. But unless you think about it, why am I going to? Because here's what everybody during COVID, especially the government, forgets. When people reestablish, or establish, I should say, a new habit, it's hard to get them to break it and go back to the old habit. And guess what happened during COVID? People learned how to shop online and have stuff delivered. So if you're going to get people back into stores, you've got to figure out a way to break the current habit they have now. And you have to do that by enticing them to come in and get something and do something that they wouldn't get otherwise. But businesses, trust me when I say this, if you're just going to do things the way you did pre-COVID, you're done. You're dead. In fact, as a shopper, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to buy your stuff. Yeah, that sounds really harsh, but I mean it. If you can't reinvent yourself and figure out how you're going to entice me to come into your store and shop, I'm done. I'm not coming in. If you're just going to do what you did before COVID, don't count on me as being your customer. I'll figure out other ways to do it, which, by the way, I already have. I've got, you know, I went a year plus without ever visiting the mall. Why? Because you couldn't. And yet somehow I survived. I ended up with the right clothing, the right shoes, the right socks, the right everything. And somehow I made it. So if I can do it for a year, can I do it for the next 10? Yeah, I can. Unless you come to me and show me there's a better way to do this. I know I'm a little bit on a rant here, folks, but I really mean what I'm saying right now, because if you, as a retailer, cannot convince me or entice me to come into your location and spend money, why would I? Charlie's in here shaking his head because he agrees with what I'm saying. We've established new habits through COVID. This is the downside of what happened, by the way, in shutting things down. By the way, it's another reason why I, as a coach, made sure none of my facilities that I coach ever shut down. Granted, I coach quote-unquote essential businesses. But I had some that wanted to close up. They wanted to send their people home and take 2 weeks off. I wouldn't allow it. Why? Because when you establish new patterns, it's hard to get those broke. And I would not allow my clients to do so. I think, Charlie, it's a reason why a lot of folks don't want me coaching them is because I won't allow them to do certain things, i.e. be lazy. None of my clients will I allow to be lazy. But I can tell you right now, you can call up any of my clients and ask if they're making more money now than they were a year ago, and the answer is going to be yes. Why? Because I won't let them be lazy. I make them work for it. And I make them work for their customers, by the way. That's the whole key here, by the way. It's customer service is what I'm really getting at. What are you going to do to provide me more service than you did prior to COVID? Because right now, your associates wearing masks are not providing me better service. It's worse, and I won't go in. So for those of you that are listening that have some control over this, change things up and entice me to come in and shop, or I won't. And having your associates behind a glass plexiglass divider wearing a mask does not entice me to want to come in and shop with you. It actually turns me off, and I probably won't come back in. So please, for the love of God, change how you do business so you can keep doing it. Otherwise, you won't be. Andy and I tomorrow are going to talk about why 35% of businesses are projected to go under this year, small businesses especially. I just gave you one of the answers. Because they're dumb. They won't change it up. They think they can go back to the way they used to. No, they can't. And no, if you do, you're going to be gone. You're going to be bankrupt. Again, Andy and I will talk more about that tomorrow. Up next, Extreme Auto Repair. And they want to help you out with all your car needs. We talked to Sean earlier today. And they've got some great deals on tires coming up in the very, actually like 3 days from now. In the meantime, go to klzradio.com, look for the Extreme form there, fill it out, or the link, I should say. There's a form there. Fill it out. You'll get free wiper blades or a tire rotation. And don't forget, they've got 20-plus service bays to service you and all of your vehicles. 303-841-1071.
Thanks for restoring my faith in humanity. No more hopping from one mechanic to another trying to find a solution for your vehicle's persistent issue. Extreme Auto Repair has a reputation for fixing problems quickly. You bring your Nissan to the dealer because of a rattling noise. They charge you $4,000. You still hear the noise. You bring the same vehicle to Extreme Auto Repair in Parker, where Sean and his team quickly discover a broken bolt in the subframe, a known Nissan failure they have seen many times before. Real stories like this one earn Extreme Auto Repair customers for life. As one woman exclaims in a recent 5-star review, "Thanks for restoring my faith in humanity." The factory-trained technicians at Extreme Auto Repair stay up to date with the manufacturer data for your vehicle's specific make and model for quick, experienced problem solving. KLZradio.com/extreme.
All right, Flesh and Beck, who, by the way, Kevin, great guy. In fact, we did a great segment here recently just on vaccines and what employers can require and what, you know, even public entities can require and so on. It was a great segment, and Kevin's a wealth of knowledge and information. If there's anything you ever need, legally speaking, Kevin is your guy. And by the way, he usually knows what's going on in the fishing world as well. So give Kevin a call, 303-806-8886. Find him at fleshlawfirm.com, and it's spelled F-L-E-S-C-H.
Some skills you only develop through practice. In October of this year, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law celebrates 25 years defending both civil and criminal cases. He has earned the tagline, trial tested, trial ready. In civil cases, such as personal injury, your attorney has the burden of proof to persuade a jury that you deserve a certain sum of money in return for your pain and suffering. However, because only a small percentage of personal injury cases go to trial, most personal injury attorneys do not spend much time in the courtroom over the course of their careers. Kevin Flesh stands apart from the rest because he represents both criminal and civil cases. After an estimated couple hundred jury trials, Kevin has learned how a jury reacts to evidence. He knows how to gauge how much money a jury will likely award in your case. Trial tested, trial ready for 25 years. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886.
All right, a good shop is next, folks. And again, anything when it comes to your vehicle, being involved in an accident, whatever the case may be, give them a call today. They'd love to help you out. Three locations, all up north, originally equipment certified so that you can get your vehicle back to original equipment specification. It's agoodshop.us is their website, or find them at klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
A good shop fights on your behalf to make sure you get the most out of your insurance claim. Chances are, your insurance adjuster has never fixed a car before. Your adjuster may not realize that your vehicle has hidden or secondary damage as a result of your collision. So your insurance claim may not cover those repairs, unless your auto body shop advocates for you. Al Sturm has a long history of working with insurance companies, both as a customer service representative helping people with their claims over the phone and as a collision repair specialist, communicating between his own customers and their adjusters. Al and his team at A Good Shop will advocate for you behind the scenes, fighting on your behalf to make sure your claim covers everything. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/collision for $100 off your repairs.
Networks change, benefits change, prescription plans change, and premium costs go up. So you want an independent broker who will compare plans from many different insurance companies, hunting for the right coverage at the best price for you. Group Insurance Analysts, 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Last little segment of the day here. I'm going to kind of cap things off today with really a huge pet peeve of mine and something I'll probably come back to and talk more in depth in the future on. We got into this a little bit on Saturday on Drive Radio, but unprepared hikers this past weekend were rescued from difficult terrain and hazardous weather conditions in Colorado. And by the way, these are on the rise. So two women hiking near Independence Pass in Colorado Saturday evening were rescued from difficult terrain during hazardous weather they reportedly were unprepared for, said the Pitkin County Sheriff's Office. So at about 4:45 p.m. Saturday, the emergency center received an SOS activation from the women in the area of Lost Man Lake, claiming they were stranded in hazardous weather in difficult terrain. Okay, I'm going to stop there because there's so much more here to talk about. Again, I'll probably come back to this in the future. And the bottom line for me, folks, on this is if you go out unprepared and have to have 20 plus people in this case rescue you because you're a bozo, you should be paying for those 20 people to come rescue you. Maybe it's because I'm a Colorado native and I had a great dad. Father's Day is coming up. I had a great dad that really taught myself, my brother, and my sister how to handle the outdoors in Colorado, which, by the way, is with utmost of respect. And you never go anywhere into the backcountry. I don't care what the weather looks like when you leave the car and how beautiful it may seem. If you're going to be gone for any length of time at all, you'd better be prepared because you never know what's coming over the hill when it comes to weather in this state. We talked about this some on Saturday's show. You know, having the right things in your pack, having a pack in the first place, having water, having, you know, warmer, you know, things to put on, dressing in layers in Colorado, which, by the way, if you don't know how to do that, you're not from here. Having the proper shoes, having the proper survival gear in your pack. By the way, in the case of these two women, if you set out and you find yourself not being able to traverse the terrain and you got to settle down for the night and then wait for the next morning to get out, you should be able to do so without ever calling SOS. You should have the proper gear with you, the ability to stop, make a fire, keep yourself warm, do whatever you need to do to make it through the night. And if you can't do that, then don't leave the car. And I mean that sincerely, folks. If you are one of these knuckleheads that goes out and has to be rescued because you didn't prepare, you should be getting the bill, not the rest of it. And by the way, this is a volunteer organization, so our tax dollars don't support them. But come on, folks. Give me a break. Get yourself ready to go, and don't just be walking out into the high country and not have yourself ready to go. Again, this is something I'll come back to because, you can tell, it really gets me going when I read these kinds of stories. Maybe because, again, I'm a native of Colorado. I know how to handle things. You know what? You should, too. Otherwise, don't leave the car. Not Mother Nature. The wilderness can be very unforgiving. Let's just say it that way. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, Andy and myself. We got a lot in store for you then. Have a great evening. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.